Good afternoon. We're continuing our study of The Art of Spiritual Healing, a book by Joel Goldsmith. And we are on chapter 2, Is God a Servant? Let's just jump right in. It's kind of a long chapter. To most people, God is still the great unknown, ignorantly worshipped. How few people there are who have sought to understand the nature of God, who have ever asked themselves, is there a God? How do I know there is a God? Have you asked yourself that? How would you answer such questions? How would you describe God? Can he be described? He is not like what most men think him to be. He is nothing like anything you can imagine, or anything you can think, because any idea of God that you entertain with your mind must be finite. Any idea of God you may have, you have created. Is it not true that you yourself either made up your ideas or concept of God, or you read something and accepted some version of what someone else believed? Are your ideas of God man-made, or are they the result of inner experience? Alright, so man-made is a concept. Inner experience is awareness. And we cannot be satisfied with a concept. We must have awareness. To Jesus, who had realized his complete oneness with God, God meant Father, the Father within. However, for us to think of God as Father is immediately to think in terms of some particular concept of a Father. In this modern age, children often consider their parents as some kind of a servant born to do their will. And many adults have simply incorporated this concept of parents as servants into their concept of God. Yes, this has been several generations now that believe in entitlement. I am entitled because you made me. You have to bring it to me. I'll get into that in a minute. They think of God as some kind of a God whose favor can be secured, if the right combination of words can be learned. Yes, if you utter the right combination of words, you can have a conscious contact with words. Only words. There is no such God. And there it is, and right here in print, there is no such God. All of God's favor you will ever need, you already have. And this goes back to what Chuck told me. What you're looking for, you're looking with. If you will turn within and acknowledge that you do not know what Jesus meant when he referred to God as Father, and then wait for God to tell you what God is as Father, you may have an experience. He says, when I turned within and asked, what is God as Father? The answer came to me, creative principle. God is the creative principle of this universe, and its nature is an infinite, all-embracing love. So, interesting. He asked, what is God as Father? And started calling God it. It is an infinite, all-embracing love. The nature of God is such that what God is not already doing, God cannot do and could not be induced to do. Understand that clearly. What God is not doing now, it would be a waste of time asking or expecting him to do. Now, I've taken a few plane rides, and I told you this maybe last week. I like the window seat. I like to look out and look down at the little cars going down the roads and the patchwork quilt of the landscape. And I like to see the clouds and the curvature of the earth. And sometimes I look down and I think, in that bus down there, which is about half an inch wide, there are 30 people, maybe 32. And each one is a dot. And now if I pull back even farther, let's say I'm out by Mars looking back at the Earth, I see that little blue marble, and on that marble is 5 billion little dots. And then if I pull back farther outside the Milky Way, and I turn and look in the other direction, there is an infinite number of galaxies. How can one of those micro dots influence all of this? It's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? And yet, when we don't get our check on time, we're saying, Father, please, I need that check to pay the rent. Father, please, I need that money to get medicine. Father, please, I need this, I need that. A micro dot, a dot so small it doesn't even register in the universe, is going to influence infinity. Well, he says it's leftover prayer from paganistic times. So, he says most people seem perfectly willing to let God run his own universe in his own way until their own little selves become involved. And then they turn to God and say, won't you heal me? Won't you send food and clothing to me and mine? Of course, God does not answer such a prayer. No, you can't influence God. Stop trying. But, Joel said, maybe God can influence you. God's work was done in the beginning. If you want to experience the grace of God, it is necessary to align yourself with God and receive the grace of God as it is now flowing, always has, and always will be. And I wrote here in the margin, get out of the way. Thy will be done. You see, a little over 50 years ago, I was 20, and I was running things until I was fired. I was fired from a job because the boss said I had the attitude that the world owed me a living. Now that's entitlement, right? And I had it. It wasn't me. It was a part of this universal mesmerism, and I was coming under it. And he couldn't stand it, so he fired me. I don't blame him. Like so many others, I wanted to do a minimum of work and receive a maximum of salary. And, you know, it doesn't work. It might work now, I don't know, but it didn't work then. So, I looked around and I saw that my neighbor had plenty, and I went over there and I asked the elderly lady, she might have been younger than me now, but I was a teenager, or 20, and I went over there and I begged bread. And she had bread, she gave it to me. I brought it home for my son and my wife and myself. And I have never felt that low. Here I was, running things to the very best of my intelligence, and I have a pretty good IQ. But I was about to starve without my neighbor's help. So I went to a meeting at a church, and they were talking about getting out of the way, letting God. And after the meeting was over, I made the decision, yes, I'm going to do this. And I looked across the room, and there was Ray over there. I knew that Ray had a little Volkswagen. I had ridden in it before. And I thought, I'm going to ask Ray for a ride home. And right there, I stopped dead in my tracks. And I said, no. No, no more. If I think of it, it's wrong. Now, I uttered my first really sincere prayer. Father, thy will be done. And I left the meeting, I left the church, and I walked across the street to the bus stop. And there was a guy there, and I sat down on the bus bench. And he said, didn't I see you up in the meeting up there? I said, yeah. He said, well, hi, my name is John. I said, I'm Bill. He said, are you working, Bill? And I said, no. No, I've messed up about everything, but I'm trying to do better. And he said, well, why don't you come up and fill out an application where I work? Well, where is that? It's a company called Kennedy Company, and he told me how to get there. And I said, okay, because I had just said, thy will be done. And I'm slow, but I'm not that slow. I could see a door was opening. Next day, I put on my clothes, aftershave, got on the bus, went up to Kennedy Company, went in there, talked to the plant manager, And he said, tell me about yourself. And I said, well, I've messed up everything I've ever touched, but I'm trying to do better. I'll never forget it. He lit up. He said, I think you are. Can you start on Monday? I said, yes. Monday I was there. John was my foreman. I worked for him. They had free coffee, free donuts. Hey. And I got a salary. And they had plenty of overtime available, so I got regular and time and a half. And now my family was eating. And I came to see that prayer, well, I wrote it down in a book. Because one night I was half asleep. Well, I wasn't asleep yet, but I wasn't awake. I was in that misty place. And this voice said, God needs no prayer. God already is. Man needs prayer in order to let God is. And I opened my eyes and I jumped up and I wrote that down. I put it in my first book. You see, that's what had happened. I stopped making decisions based on my best reasoning. And instead, I simply turned within and said, Thy will be done. And then I watched. You see, the second part of that is important. It's not enough to just say the word. When you say the word, Thy will be done, or it's your ball game, it's your show, or I give up, then you watch, because a door will open. And you walk in it. And this is how grace begins to build your life for you. God's grace was there before, when I had to go next door and beg bread. God's grace was already there. But I had to create an opening. And so I did. And so he says here, if you will turn within and acknowledge that you do not know what Jesus meant, you may have an experience if you wait for God to tell you. And I waited for God to show me. He says, if you want to experience the grace of God, it's necessary to align yourself with God. And that's what I did. Thy will be done. And I waited. You receive the grace of God as it is now flowing, always will be, always has been, and always will be. There is a God, and that God is love. That should end my problem. All right, now I'm going to tell you, this must be an experience. It's not enough to say, well, Bill Skiles said, all I have to do is say, Thy will be done. And so you sit down to, before you go to bed, after you've brushed your teeth, and you say, Thy will be done. And you climb into bed and go to sleep. No, that's not opening anything internally. Well, it can be. No, it has to go deeper than that. It's not enough to just say the words. It's not enough to listen to me saying them, or Joel saying them, or Herb, or Virginia, or Doris. Inside of yourself, you must make the change and kick out the human mind from being your director. Oh, you can let it loose every once in a while. I have to add this up. My checkbook. Come on out. Or I have to put this carburetor back together. Come on out. You can let it out every once in a while, but not to run your life. You've got to get a new God. And you do that by making that change within. He says, I can forget anything that looked like a problem and begin to help the men, women, and children who do not know that God is love. I can help those who have heard the words but do not believe them. And in helping them, I bring the conscious awareness, conscious realization home to myself. Now that's a wonderful thing. And here's how I discovered that principle. Now again, notice how the principle had to be taken within and lived. Okay, I had an experience where my wife, my first wife, left me. And she probably should have. I wasn't very good at being a husband. But she was just kind of playing the field, because in my church group, she went home with 11 men. Meanwhile, I was at home, and I was deeper and darker and more depressed than I've ever been. Why did you do this, God? Why? I said, thy will be done. I turned my life over to you. And this is what you do? You take the only person I love? Well, it had to be quite some time before I could remember. I also prayed, show me how to love. And he was answering that prayer. He was teaching me how to love, and I didn't know it. So in the middle of this deep, dark depression, my spiritual teacher at the time said, look, most people would get out of this problem by transferring their feelings to another woman. But you'd be in just the same mess in a little while, because this isn't love. This is dependency that you're feeling. Oh, man. How do you transfer your feelings to God? He said, well, I can't tell you. But there's a chapter for you in The Art of Meditation. So I looked through The Art of Meditation and I found a chapter called For Love is of God. And in that chapter, it said to me, and remember, I needed relief. I was hurting so bad. It said, the way we love God is by loving His creation, for God and His creation are one. To those who live in conscious union with God, serving God through their fellow man, the promise is literally kept. Son, all that I have is thine. And so I put the book away and I decided I'm going to do it. I'm going to serve God. Now, I don't know Him real well because I've only started experiencing His grace. But I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to pretend that God is my sweetheart, my new sweetheart. So in the morning I got up and I looked at the bed, and the bed was empty. She wasn't there and her pillow wasn't there. And I started to slip into negative thinking. And I stopped myself. I said, God, how can I be of service? Thy will be done. And I looked in the kitchen and I made a cup of coffee and I noticed there was dirty dishes. So I went over and I did the dishes, but I did each individual dish for God. I talked to him. I lived by myself. Hey, Father, look at that. I can see myself in this dish. How do you like that one? And I do another and another, all for God. I found out later that Brother Lawrence did that before I did, but that's another story. I was reading another book about a spiritual master named Baba. And Baba said, if you can find happiness by making other people happy, you will know me. And he was speaking of was the same me that says, my peace I give unto you. It was the I he was referring to. And so if you can find happiness by making others happy, you will know me, God. Well, that confirmed it for me. So I decided, okay, fine. I am going to throw myself into serving people, serving God in people. So Ray stopped by to see how I was doing, and he came in the house, and I said within myself, silently, Father, how may I best be of servant, of service? And to Ray out here, I said, Ray, would you like a cup of coffee? Maybe a cookie? And Ray sat down, and I gave him his coffee, and we talked. And something wonderful began to happen because Ray came over to see how I was doing and he ended up talking about his problems and we discussed spiritual principles that might help. And he, on his way out, he said, thank you. And I said, no, thank God. And something wonderful began to happen. Something just outstanding. And so Joel says, we help those who have heard the words and don't believe them. And in helping them, we bring the conscious realization home to myself. And that's what happened. Because by concentrating, focusing all my energy toward helping and serving and loving God, by helping and serving by and loving you, I came into the conscious awareness in my meditations of God, of God's presence, of God's omnipresence. And it has never left me. I mean, that was 1973. This is 2024. And so the conscious, this principle, I lived inside myself. Can you see? It was inside. It was internal. It was an inside job. And yet I served out here, but the experience was in here. The getting out of the way was in here. The love was in here. As you meditate upon the nature of God, you will perceive that there never has been a time when God did not exist. There never will be a time when God will cease to exist. With that conviction comes the revelation that God is eternal. Furthermore, there is no place where God is not. Now, when these principles he's so eloquently stating are taken within, and you ask yourself, how do I practice this? And then you make the decision, I am going to practice this. And then you practice the spiritual principle, you have the conscious awareness or the spiritual experience of God. And then you can say, yes, there is a God. And it's moving things around in my life because I got out of the way. And I said, thy will be done. Or it's your ball game, or it's your show, or show me what to do and give me the power to do it. Or make me an instrument for thy peace, thy love. Or help me to help others. Or let me love you by loving others. The words are not important. The commitment and the practice is what brings you the consciousness. If it is true that all that the Father has is mine, then the Father's qualities are the qualities of my individual being. You see, you will never run out of love to give, to share, to serve. You serve the Most High by serving your fellow man, your fellow woman, your fellow creatures, sometimes your fellow plants. Since it is true that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then God cannot do anything today that God was not doing yesterday, or that God will not be doing tomorrow. Yes, this is true. However, comma, you can shut yourself off from God's grace. True, he won't do anything more in 15 minutes than he's doing now. But what he's doing now will not become a part of your consciousness if your consciousness is closed. And it's closed if you have reason, human thought, in the driver's seat. And it's closed if you have beliefs and concepts in the driver's seat. And it's closed if you have fear and hatred in the driver's seat. You have to become empty of self. And then your being becomes the prayer. You are the prayer. You are standing there empty, which is the same as thy will be done, because you've created an opening. Now you can experience God's grace. It was flowing 15 minutes ago, but you had to get to this point of awareness where you could consciously see it flowing in your life. God does not have health to give. God does not have harmony to give, or wealth or employment. Because God is love, God cannot withhold health or harmony or employment or peace. What kind of God would let you be sick until you got around to praying to him? Such a God is merely a glorified human being and not God at all. It is his pleasure to give you his kingdom and to give it without your sitting around waiting, trying to find out how you're going to influence him in your behalf. Yet is not that what the world is doing? And so these principles, do like I do and underline them or put a star next to them or highlight them so that they can become a part of your consciousness through your practice. Unless you understand the nature of God as one infinite good, you will be attempting to use God to gain your own ends. That's true. You must be willing to be used by God. Be willing to be used by truth. Be willing to be an instrument through which truth reveals itself, but do not attempt to use God. Yes. How may I best be of service? And then watch. And a door will open. And you will step in it and serve God through your fellows. It's the most fantastic principle you will ever find. All right. If you understood the nature of God, never could you pray to God for anything. God has only the gift of Himself to give, and in that gift all other needs are met. Any other kind of God is a man-made myth. This should start to really shake you up if you hear it. Maybe you've been stuck for a while. This will help. He says, in the days of Abraham, they prayed to a God who rewarded them when they were good, and a God who punished them when they were evil. And then he says, five words, it's right here in print. God is not like that. So you can forget about the errors you've made, the mistakes of omission or commission, even if you've done some pretty nasty things. And you can stop trying to be good. We're not of service so we can be good. Heaven forbid. We're of service so we can do something for our Lord, our Master, our God, our Father. I love God. And so I want to do something for Him that's never been done before. And I asked one time, what can I do for God? I got to thinking about it. God has everything. I can't possibly do anything for God. And then it came to me, yes, God has everything, but you've never given God yourself. And so you can give Him yourself. The difference in people's experience does not lie with God. It lies in their lack of awareness of God. Now, how do you come into an awareness of God? We just discussed it. Pick up the tool, practice the principle, and the awareness follows. I don't know when. I don't know if it's a day, a week, a month, a year. How bad do you want an awareness of God? Do you really believe that God is an instrument made for your pleasure? Or is God the creative principle of the universe, whom this universe serves and whose purpose you serve? God is not meant to glorify man. Man is meant to glorify God. Reverse the usual concept of God. And so when you see somebody praying, dear Father, you know the hearts of all men. Please change this person's heart. You know right then that you're trying to make God a servant. Or they're trying to make God a servant. That's not how you pray at all. Don, my first teacher, said, and I hope you'll pardon the language, he said, if it doesn't lead to love, it's bullshit. That's what he said, and I'll never forget it. It has to lead to love or service. If your prayer doesn't lead to service, something wrong with it. Chuck said it. No, that wasn't Chuck. It was another guy named Bill. He said, never was I to pray for myself except as my request bore on my usefulness to others, my service to others. Then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure. So you see, these principles work wherever you find them if you work them. And so you are not to tell God anything. You are to be taught of God, and so God is to tell you. And maybe not in a voice, maybe just in an inner awareness. That's fine. And so he says, be receptive and responsive to the divine impulse from within, so that truth may use you to reveal its glory. You do not express God. God expresses God, and that expression appears as you. Now, he says in the wisdoms, Joel does, consciousness, you don't live consciousness. Consciousness lives itself. This is the same principle. You do not express God. God expresses God, and that expression appears as you. So, God is expressing God right now, right here. And when I say, thy will be done, make me an instrument, and the phone rings and somebody needs to talk or needs my prayer, now God is expressing God. He says, but you have nothing to do with it. God expresses himself. God shows forth his own handiwork. God glorifies himself. And the nearer, the closer you approach this vision, the greater is the glory of God that is being shown forth by you. And so if you want to experience God's glory, God's grace, you must incorporate this vision. God glorifies itself. Every knee must bend, every head must bow to God. And so tell God nothing. Acknowledge God. God, thou art the infinite intelligence which has created this entire universe. The intelligence that knows how to govern it without any help from me. Forgive me, Father, if I have ever told thee what I need or what my family or my nation needs. Father, forgive me every time that I have lifted my eyes in the hope that you would serve me. Let me understand that I was created in thy image and likeness to show forth thy glory. Man, the highest creation, should show forth God to the fullest extent. His grace should be evident in your eyes. The harmony of his body should be made manifest as the health of your body. The infinite wealth, the infinite abundance of God should be expressed in your individual purse and household. Not because you are good and deserve it, but because God is love. And the nature of love is that you bear fruit richly. It is God's great pleasure to give you the kingdom, not to have you sweat for it, labor for it, earn it, or even deserve it. Your good should come to you, not by the sweat of your brow, but by a divine grace operating in you, a grace which you prevent by trying to make God your servant instead of making of yourself a servant of God. A servant of God and man. Now you see, when you practice that principle and you are honestly of service to God through your neighbors, your family, your enemies, when you practice that principle, you become a living bread that's cast on the waters and returns to you 100-fold, 1,000-fold, 100,000, 1,000,000-fold. You begin to see your concept of God changing. You do not give up praying, but prayer now begins to have a new meaning. You begin to see that God cannot give and God cannot withhold. You can shut yourself off from the grace of God, but through prayer you can be reunited with your source. Now, how do you shut yourself off from God? God is flowing forever, always has been, always will be. So how do you shut that off? You can't, but you can shut off your conscious awareness of it. You can live an individual human life. You can have yourself at the center of the universe and go out and do your best to collect toys. And it has been said that he with the most toys wins. I don't know what you win, but... Or you can adopt these principles and you'll find you never have to work for a living again, because what you're doing is not work. It's love, and you love doing it. Your prayer will not be an asking or seeking for anything. It will be an asking and seeking and a knocking for more light, greater spiritual wisdom, greater discernment. Gladly will you give up everything, if only it will bring you one step closer to the realization of your true relationship with God, which is that of a child of God, heir of God, the very expression of God's own infinite being. God's strength, youth, and vitality begin to flow through you. Now, God can never increase. God can never decrease. God is. 5,000 years ago, God is. 1,000 years from now, God is. 1,000,000 years from now, God is. That is the limit of our knowledge about God. God is. If God is, then I am. I seek nothing, for all that the Father has is mine, and all that God is, I am. Knowing that God is makes it unnecessary for you to find some God power to do something for you. God is, and God is ising. God is always ising. Try to understand God in this light of is. And when he says that, it means take it in meditation, live with it, ponder it, contemplate it, meditate on it. God is. Okay, so you're sitting here and enveloping you is omnipresence, and it is ising. What do you need to do to be consciously aware of it? That's what you meditate on. That's what you ask. And he gives an example of a few hundred years ago when people were scared, afraid, because there weren't enough horses. How were people going to get to work? How were they going to get products? How were they going to get products to the trains? There wasn't enough horses. People weren't breeding enough of them. They were going to run out. He says, do you not see the foolishness of believing that man can prepare for the future? Or that his wisdom is sufficient to provide for the future? God's grace is our sufficiency in all things. Today, tomorrow, 1,000 years from now. God is expressing itself now. And the highest form of prayer is God already is. See? God needs no prayer. God already is. Man needs prayer in order to let God is. I showed that one time to a lady and she said, oh, that's just wrong. I said, what do you mean? Well, the English language, it's a misuse of English language. It's just wrong. It's the sentence structure is wrong. She was so focused on how wrong it was, she couldn't see the truth in front of her face. It was amazing. Anyway, as you understand God as the creative principle of life, that which maintains and sustains all creation, that which is the intelligence of this universe, the very love and life and fiber of this universe, you will not pray to it. You will rejoice in it, and that will be your prayer. So there's another hint. If I'm doing this right, I will not pray to God. We made a talk about that one time. Do not pray to God, I think it was. If I'm doing this right, I will not pray to God. I will rejoice that God is. The presence is. Grace is. Chuck used to bug the heck out of me. What you're looking for, you came here with. Oh, man. Will you stop with... But he was right. Now, you will commune with it, seeking nothing for yourself, seeking nothing for anyone else, and never relegating God to the role of a servant. You must change the nature of your prayer so that you are not trying to get a great big God to do a little tiny you a favor. Yeah, just remember that dot from outer space. Instead of letting God speak to them, too many people speak to God. Yes, we've reversed. This is what the human mind does. It reverses everything. And it reverses what prayer should be. Prayer's not your telling God this, that, or the other. It's not even your thanking God. What is prayer? Prayer is when you commune with God and you receive an impartation. So deep within you, prayer is uttered so very quietly, so silently that you have to really listen. Speak, Father. And in that listening is an opening created through which God can appear to your awareness. Moses waited a long time for God to speak to him, and you will find that you may have to wait a long time too. But after you once hear the still small voice, it comes more frequently, and then eventually it comes at will. Now I have that underlined because it's pretty important to me. You practice and practice and practice, and in the beginning you can't hear anything. What am I doing? This is stupid. And so you go turn on the TV. But you come back to it because something within you says, wait, this is right. I know this is right. So you come back and you come back and you come back. And then it utters itself and you hear it. You feel it. You feel that movement. It comes into your awareness. Hey, was that it? Did I just hear it? You're too scared to tell anybody, and I can give you a clue here. If it really is the voice, some form of harmony will appear. Because that voice, when it's heard, reveals itself as harmony. And then eventually you can hear it at will. So prayer is not what you say. Prayer is not what you think. Prayer is what God utters as you listen within you. Here I am, Father, listening for your voice. My inner ears are open. I have no requests, no demands, no hopes, no ambitions. I do not ask you to do anything you are not already doing. I await your word of grace. I am the servant of the Most High. Be willing to be a servant of the Most High. Stand on the isness of God and pray in confidence. When the finger of the Lord is upon you, you live and move and have your being under the grace of God, no longer under the law. See, when you're living by the mind, you're under the law of good and evil. Ah, but what happens when you stop that? This inner shift happens. There's an opening in your soul, and God utters its voice. Then what happens? You live by grace. Those who look to you for leadership will be led out of their slavery, out of their bondage to persons and conditions. And I hope that you are walking out of your bondage to persons and conditions. Now, thank you so much for drawing this out. It's a very important chapter, very important principles. Dear friends, practice these principles, and you will see God is, and God is you. Thank you.